This is the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program, the days of creation. There may be a Bible Answers study group near you. If you would like to know, write to Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ed, my question is, how long did it take God to create the heavens and the earth? Are the findings of the geologists in harmony with the Genesis account of creation? But first, these discussions are brought to you by the Don Bible Students Association in cooperation with Bible study groups and the Friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, tell us why you believe in the Genesis account of creation.
Russell, the first chapter of Genesis contains the divinely inspired record of creation. Therefore, it's one of the most important in the Bible. If it is not true, then we would have reason to doubt the inspiration of the entire Bible.
But Ed, as you know, there are only six creative days mentioned in this chapter, yet there seems to be abundant geological proof that the work of creation required thousands, possibly millions of years. How can the two viewpoints both be true?
Well, Russell, in the first place, the six creative days mentioned in the opening chapter of Genesis do not pertain to the original creation of the universe, but merely to the preparation of the planet Earth to sustain plant and animal life.
Yes, I believe you're right. I never thought of it just like that.
In the very first verse of this remarkable chapter in Genesis, we read, and I quote, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was." That is, it already existed, but was, I quote again, "without form and void." This, of course, was before the beginning of the sixth so-called creative days. That being true, regardless of how long a time the geologists assigned to the creation of the earth, their views would not be out of harmony with the Bible, for the Bible gives no length of time for this original creative work.
But even so, Ed, the development of the earth from a shapeless, empty waste to a place suitable for human habitation would require more than 6 days.
Very true, Russell, but we do not need to conclude that those were 24-hour days. There are different lengths of days mentioned in the Bible. For example, the Bible speaks of the day of temptation in the wilderness. This day was 40 years long. The Bible also describes the entire period from Christ's first advent until now as the day of salvation.
However, Ed, the creative days of Genesis seem to be literal days. The account says that the evening and the morning were the first day or the second day and so forth.
Well, Russell, those expressions are merely descriptive of the beginnings and endings of any days and would be just as true of long periods of time as they would be of 24-hour days. That these days were not 24-hour periods, the length of which is determined by the sun, is clear from the fact that the sun did not appear until the fourth day.
Well, what do you know about that? That surely is a good point for your side.
And, Russell, another proof that the creative days were long periods of time is found in the description of the work that was accomplished in them. Concerning the fifth day, for example, we read that God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. Now, notice, not only were the fish created, but they were brought forth during that day. This, you see, indicates a lapse of considerable time.
You think the text indicates sufficient lapse of time to permit the waters, in a natural way, to swarm with fish?
Yes, Russell. A very orderly development is outlined in the description of what occurred on each of the successive days mentioned in the chapter, and the Genesis sequence of progress from one epoch to another harmonizes exactly with the findings of geologists.
Ed, geology indicates that lichen and mosses came first, then grasses, and then herbs. Does this harmonize with the Bible?
Russell, every detail of the Genesis record is in complete harmony with the findings of true science, both as to the order of events and to the long periods of time during which those developments were in progress. This is all set forth in the creation book.
Thank you, Ed, and since I can obtain all the details in the creation book, let us pass on to the sixth creative day, the day or epoch in which man was created.
Well, very well. The sixth creative day spans the period during which the higher forms of the animal creation were brought forth. It was toward the close of the sixth epoch that God created man.
That is when he said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness."
Yes, and the detailed account of this is recorded in the second chapter of Genesis. We are informed that God made man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
A living soul in the image of God. Ed, does this harmonize with the findings of the scientists?
Very definitely so, Russell. What scientists describe as the precise theory of evolution is, by their own admission, absolutely without proof. In the light of recent discoveries in the field of archaeology, many scientists are admitting that evidence indicates early man was highly intelligent and far removed from an anthropoid ape.
But Ed, here's something else. I notice an omission in the account of the seventh day in which God rested. It does not say that the evening and the morning were the seventh day, as the record of the other days state. Why is that?
Well, it's because the seventh day was not then completed. In fact, the seventh day has not yet come to an end. But that is a long story and a very interesting one. It is presented fully in the creation book. How briefly, God's rest is related to his purpose in the creation of man. He had created man perfect, had commanded him to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Man was given dominion over the earth, and the divine purpose was that the earth should be his everlasting home, and that man should dwell upon it forever.
But man lost all that because of his disobedience to God's law in the Garden of Eden.
That's just the point, Russell. The Creator demands obedience to his laws. The inanimate things of creation have no choice but to obey. But man was created a free moral agent. He was given the chance to disobey, and the divine purpose in permitting this was that his human creatures might, by experience, learn the terrible results of sin and disobedience, and the advantages of obedience, and thus be in a position to choose obedience because they want to obey. This method requires time. It has already required more than 6,000 years. And the divine purpose in man's creation has not yet been accomplished.
And is that related to the fact that God rested on the seventh creative day or epoch?
Yes, the scriptures show this definitely. And as I said, it's a long but very interesting story. In the New Testament, for instance, Christians are spoken of as entering into a rest of faith in Christ, having ceased from their own works as God did from his.
Just a moment, Ed. How do Christians do that?
Well, the thought is, Russell, when our first parents sinned and God cast them off, or as the scriptures declare, gave them up, but he still loved his human creation and through Christ provided a way of escape from the result of sin. That way was through Christ, and the divine purpose in Christ was planned from the foundation of the world.
I believe I get the thought. The divine purpose in the creation of man required that he have an experience with sin, right?
Right.
To be recovered from sin and death, man needed a redeemer, right?
Right again.
And this work was entrusted to Christ. Thus, Christ took up the work which was begun by the Creator, so it can now be said that God ceased from his labor.
Yes, and the New Testament declares we also cease from our works when we leave everything in the hands of Christ.
I agree, we should leave everything with him, all right. I am glad I brought up the subject, for it strengthens one's faith to realize that the teachings of the Bible are reasonable and fully in harmony with true science. Very wonderful.
Yes, Russell, it is, and you'll realize that even more when you read the creation book. Will you tell our listeners how they may obtain the creation book free?
I'll be glad to, Ed. Friends, the creation book is filled with faith-strengthening facts. It will be sent to you free upon request. Here are some questions you will find answered in the creation book. How did the serpent talk with Mother Eve? How does population explosion prove the truthfulness of the Genesis account of creation? The creation book answers these and many other questions. Besides, the creation book cites the opinions of many noted scientists to the effect that evolution is still an unproved theory. I am sure you will truly enjoy reading the creation book as I did. It will make the Bible more real to you. So without delay, send now for the creation book. Simply mail a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. May I repeat the address for your convenience? It is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the creation book. It will be sent to you free by mail and without any obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.